I want to back into some of you's goal. And the reason I want to do that, folks, it's September the 5th. School has started back. You know, summer's over. Perfect time of the year for you to move forward in your business. And when I say that, it's whether it's a personal business goal, personal production, whether it is a building. I want to talk a little bit today about building. I know this is the Tuesday call, but I still want to talk a little bit about some techniques on building and some different things, because I think it's very important for you to understand some of the building principles you're going to need to know early on. You know, I started learning those principles when I hired my first person. So building doesn't necessarily mean, you know, being a Fitzgerald and building all over the country. You can build a small organization, but you're still a builder. We have some very successful. Now, I'm not encouraging small organizations. Don't misunderstand that. But I'm saying the building technique doesn't change, okay, or the techniques, I should say. Now, with that said, folks, let's talk just a little bit about the time of the year that we're in. As I said earlier, school started back. People are at home. It's going to start to get dark earlier. You know, it's one of, now it can be, let me say it that way, it can be one of the best times of the year for our business. So for you guys that are just getting started, and I say guys, it's guys or gals, if you're just getting started with us, it's a great time. If you've been here a while and you've kind of gotten your feet wet, it's still a great time for you. No time like the present for either one of you guys, okay? But all I'm saying is, folks, if you really take a look at the seasons and what we've come through, people have usually gotten their vacations out of the way around now. They've settled on down a little bit. They're going to be in earlier in the evenings. Children have to get into bed. They're going to be home. They should be answering their phones more. Should be easier to schedule appointments. Now, with that said, nothing changes until something changes, folks, and it has to change in your mindset as to what you really want out of this business, okay? So I think between now and the end of the year, you can go out here and really move your business forward. You could just leap forward because of the timing and the season and the, what's going on. I mean, you can almost get a year in the next 3 to 4 months if you really plan your time out and then you really schedule your time and you really put that extra effort into it. If not, it's just going to be another September, October, November, and December. But if you've got some things specifically that you want to work on, folks, for example, school started, maybe you need a little extra money. Maybe you need a boost. It was a little higher if you got a couple children or three children or whatever the case may be. The holiday seasons are coming. Christmas is coming. You know, this year for Christmas, you know, I used to tell people for 10 years in my practice company I gave love for Christmas. That was it. That's all I could afford. Okay, I had plenty of that, but I didn't have any money. Well, at some point in time, you got to kind of step up to the plate, folks, and make a decision and make something happen. I say today is the day to make that happen for your Christmas that's going to be 4 months from now, okay? So, again, with the holiday seasons coming and people coming to visit or whatever, who knows what it is on your mind, whether you want to be the one hosting the whole family this year, you know, I don't know. But do you want it to be like it was last year? If you had a great one last year, that's fine. Then you want it to be like that one. If it wasn't so great, then you want to step up to the plate. It's entirely up to you. But let me go through some personal producer goals that I think you really and truly should look at pretty hard. We talk constantly on our calls, folks, and we talk a lot about people making $50,000 a year. Now, the average income for an agent nationwide is about $24,000 to $28,000. That's average, okay? Nobody wants to be average. We want to be above average, all right? Somebody's high, somebody's low, pulling that down. building it up, whatever the case may be. But I want to tell you that this isn't easy, but I want to tell you how simple it is for you to go out and make $50,000 to $60,000 to $75,000 a year. And if you hit that $100,000 mark, you're in the top 2% of the people in the richest, most civilized country in the world. Now, let's think for a second. Personal producer. If I'm sitting where you're sitting on the other end of this phone, and I want to come up with something, and I want to start somewhere, okay, yours may be 100. If it is, double what we're talking about. I don't want to bring you down, all right? But if I want to make $50,000 a year, here's what I'd say. I need to have a goal of producing $12,500 in premium per month. Now, that's going to average out to about 15 sales, 15 to 16. So let's make it on the high side, and let's say it's 16 sales. Now, folks, that's going to break down. And I know this is elementary, but hang with me, folks. That's going to break down to 4 sales a week. Now, if you're doing this on a full-time basis, and you're not closing 4 sales a week, you need to listen real close here. I don't understand that concept. Okay? 4 sales a week. For me personally, I was closing back in the day. I don't want to go back to, you know, way back there. 4 sales a night. But I'm talking 4 sales a week, folks. And we're talking people on the leaderboards and the leader bulletins that you hear us talking about closing, you know, $25,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 in premium a week. And sometimes I think we get those numbers out there, and then there's 400 or 500 people on my call on Tuesdays, and they say, you know what, I'm tired of hearing about them people. I'm not a superstar. I can't go out and spend the time, energy, effort, whatever, and I can't. So, you know, I can't. I want to throw that away today, folks. And I want you to listen to reality. And you know what? You may not be the person to go out there and close $40,000 or $50,000 in a week, but I'm gonna tell you something. 4 sales a week, you can do that. I don't care who's on this phone, brand new licensed person, you can do that. If you took 4 days and closed 1 a day, you could do it. If you closed 2 one night and 2 the next night, you could do it. Now, here's where you gotta start at, folks. See, you gotta understand how many phone calls you have to make to set up enough sales. If your closing ratio, for example, is 50%, and you know in your heart of hearts you need to close 4 sales a week, it's not rocket science for you to understand you got to have 8 appointments. Now, if you're calling people on the phone, and for every 10 people you call, one will give you an appointment, you're going to have to talk to 80 people. See how simple that is, folks? You can back in to your goal of what you need. So you need to set enough appointments to get your closing or care ratio in to get the 4 sales per week closed if that's your goal. If it's 8, work it into that, and that's your goal. But I just want to give you an idea here. $12,500 in premium, which is 4 sales a week. Now, you're going to have a 75% placement. The numbers be the numbers. That means if you sell 4, one of them is going to decide they don't want it. We call that buyer's remorse. Or one of them, the company, is going to decide they don't want them. We call that a decline. Okay? So if you sell 4, 3 of them are going to get placed. That's the numbers. You may sell 4 and all of them get placed this week. You may sell 4 next week and 2 of them get placed. 75%, any way you stack it up. So that's $9,375 in premium that you actually put on the books. Now, hang with me on this, folks. $12,500, 15 to 16 sales, 4 a week, 75% placement, 75% of $12,500 is $9,375. Now, I'm going to put you on a 60-point contract. You may be on a 55, okay? I'm just giving an example here of a 60% contract level. 60% of $9,375 is $5,625. Pretty simple. If you're writing with some of our companies, they're going to give you 80% of that up front. If you're writing with one of our companies, they're going to give you 100% of that up front. So let's say you're going to get an 80% advance. Now, so nobody misunderstands what I just said. You're on a 60-point contract, 60% commission in this example, and 80% of that they're going to send you upfront advance commissions. So now, 60% of $9,300 is $5,625. 80% of that advance is $4,500. I'm going to take out $400 for lead cost. Brings you down to $4,100 net after expenses. That's a total income times 12 of $49,200. Okay? That's $50,000 a year, folks. And you're going out a couple nights a week closing a couple sales a night. Or you're going out one night closing four, or you're stretching it out and pretending to work and going out four nights a week closing one sale. Or you don't do anything during the week but stay at home with your family and go out on the weekends and close four. See, what your personal goal is your personal goal. But all I'm saying is, bottom line, four sales a week at a small contract get you $50,000 a year and put you in the top 4% of the people. Okay? Now, bottom line, what do you have to concern yourself with, or what do you have to have a mindset of? There's four things. Number one, how many phone calls? What's the number of phone calls that I personally need? This is you listening to me on the other end. How many phone calls do I need to make this happen? Or whatever goal you put in there. Out of those phone calls, how many appointments do I need to set? How many sales can I get out of that, which is your care ratio? And then how many referrals can I get from those appointments to assure myself, come heck or high water, next week I'm still in business? See, folks, I think that's one thing we have to talk about and we have to spend some time on. We're going to do everything in our power. If you knew everything behind the scenes that we're doing right now to provide more leads, it would blow your mind. But leads be the leads. And if you happen to be unfortunate, as I was, and live in Danville, Virginia, and you were going to sit in Danville, Virginia, and count on leads, you better learn how to spell referrals. Okay? Because we weren't going to get any. You better figure out how to travel somewhere where there's some people at. All right? So all I'm saying is referrals is a very, very strong part of your business, especially, folks, with our KIT program. If you think about the power behind that, and I'm not going to get off on that, but all I'm saying is if you think about the power of your referrals receiving a letter once a month, 12 months out of the year, and you having a chance to put your picture, your credentials, and your information in front of them, it's going to result in sales. Okay? So all of the things that we have here, we want you to take advantage of and get that in place. Now, let's switch for one second to the builder mentality. Okay? And when I say builder mentality, folks, some of you on here that are builders are going to say, that ain't building. All right? But I'm going to show you or attempt to explain to you how you can go out there and make yourself over $100,000 a year with an organization. Okay, so you're going from 50 to 100. Now, here's where most people drop the ball. They start thinking about building and they quit talking about personal production. Wrong. If you can't juggle two balls at one time, don't build. Personal production is your responsibility. Your family is your responsibility. If you can't personally produce and sell and recruit and train, folks, trust me, you ain't working over 30 hours a week. I don't know no nice way to say that other than just come out and say it, and I don't mean that to be negative, but all I'm saying is it don't take rocket science to figure out four sales a week ain't really putting in a full week, and you got time to do something else. Okay, so here's the deal. Counting yourself, folks, I'm talking five producers. See, again, I honestly believe we get on the phone a lot of times and we talk about the unbelievable managers which we do have. And it blows people out of the water and they don't see themselves being there. And what I'm bringing you back to reality on today is, folks, I think you could go out here and find four producers along with yourself and put a plan together like this, okay? Now, I'm going to say you're out here doing your production of 12,500 and you're going to pick up four more people. Well, in doing so, with the production numbers, folks, you're going to move yourself up from a 60% contract to a minimum of an 80% contract. Now, that means you're doing enough promotion, enough production. You've been anything, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7 months, whatever the case may be, and you got some people under you, and your contract level moves up based on production. That's the way our system works. It's printed right there on the Internet. All right? Now, here's the key. You're going to be responsible for $52,500 in production, okay, out of your group. 12,500 of it is yours. It's the same 3 to 4 sales a week that you're making. However, watch this. 75% placements, the same number, okay? 80% contract means 80% now of 9,300 is 7,500. 80% of that gets advanced is $6,000. On the first one, it was $4,500. Now, your leads are going to cost you a little more, so I took $1,000 off for leads. Now, you net, $5,000 a month, okay? You're doing the same amount of work, but you've worked, you've hired some people, you've got your producing up or your production up, and now you're getting $5,000 for your personal production. Now, watch this, folks, and pay close attention. I know you can't watch it because I'm on the telephone, but pay close attention to what I'm getting ready to say. You are responsible for having four people do $10,000 in production, which means they only going to do 3 sales per week. That's going to give you $40,000 in production outside of your 12-5. Now, you say, I only got to have 4 people do 10. That's where the breakdown comes in at, folks. You may not be able to find a person to do 10. Trust me, they're out there. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you got to find 8 people doing 5 or 16 people doing 2,500 or 32 people doing, you know what I'm saying? Your goal is $40,000 in production. That's where people get hung up. I found my 4 people, but I can't beat them over the head hard enough to get $40,000 out of them. If you can't change your people, change your people. Only so many seats on the bus, okay? The people that are productive have a seat on the bus. The people that are non-productive walk behind the bus. It's just that simple. You only got so many seats on the bus. The goal here is $40,000 in this example, independent of you. So $40,000 in production, whether it's 4 people, 8 people, 16 people, whatever the case may be, at a 75% placement is $30,000. Now, folks, you have a 20-point spread on that business because these people are at 60 and you're at 80. 20-point spread on a business is unreal. 20% of $30,000 is $6,000. All right? $6,000 advanced at 80% is $4,800. Now, here's where I like to spend a little bit of time talking about. You going out doing 4 sales a week and making $5,000 net, and I took $500 off of the $4,800 for lead costs on overrides, you're down to $4,300. Now, you made $5,000 on your 4 sales, you made $4,300 on their 12 times 4, which is 48 sales. There's the problem. Most people will get to the point that they're trying to live off of the $40,000 in production and claim they can't do anything personal, and that same little 1 or 2 days a week that you work in makes you more than you made off your group. But $5,000 and $4,300 is $9,300 times 12, which is $111,600. So, folks, you simply go out here if you want to be in the top 2% of the people in the country, and you put yourself down a personal goal to do $12,500, and you have a personal goal to recruit enough people, 4, 8, 10, 12, whatever yours looks like, to do $40,000 in production, you can become an agency manager with us at $52,000 worth of production a month after doing that for 2 months, and you will be making $100,000 a year off of that. Now, see, what happened? Let me tell you what you're going to run into. You're going to get tied up in recruiting people and training people and working with people and say, I don't have time to go out and do my personal, and you're going to justify that in your mind. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that. One night a week, two nights a week, one day on a weekend, whatever yours looks like, that personal production of 3 to 4 sales a week is over 50 to 60% of your income in this equation. Okay? We got another equation that we can get to, and you can totally get yourself out of the field. I'm not going to go there today, but I want you to understand that is available once you step up to the next step. All right? But then the producers, with you caring about them, talking about to them, working with them, pushing them, encouraging them to come out here and each hit their goal, whatever it is. Again, if you had somebody said, I only want to close one a week, then you need 40 of those. That's okay. What your group looks like doesn't matter. You need $40,000 in production independent of you, $12,500 dependent on you, and that's $100,000 a year income. It's not that complicated to do that. Now, let's get to the building techniques of what it's going to take for you to encourage these people to do what they need. Four things that go without saying, and I'm not going to spend 30 minutes on either one of them today, but the passion, the commitment, the coachability, and the credibility is all there. We know we need that. I talked about that last week or week before last when I was on the phone. But let me give you about 4 or 5, maybe 6 steps here, 6 steps on building techniques, okay? Your number one responsibility is to create a positive environment for your people, okay? They want to be treated special. There's about 4 things underneath this that I wrote down. Create a positive environment that becomes a magnet and draws people into you. Now, do you think it's by chance that people love to be around Fitz, they love to be around a Henry Molden, they love to be around a Katz or Ralph Simpson or Robert Wallace? These people, do you think it's by chance that Andy gets up and says, we're going to have fun, make money, and eat good? No, it's not by chance. That's a positive environment. People want to be around somebody positive. People want to be around somebody exciting. People want to be a part of something that's a movement, that's making something happen. It's simple. So as a leader, folks, you need to look in the mirror, and you need to say, am I creating a positive environment that's sucking people in, that's drawing people in like a magnet, or am I creating an environment that's another workforce, that's another boss, that's another, you know, spelt backward, that's a double SOB, all right, that just nobody wants to be around, that every time they come in, I beat them up and beat them down and beat them over the head. That's not the environment they're going to be part of. And if you got people coming and going, you need a checkup, folks. You need to take a look at your environment. I promise you, if you ever go to some of these people I just mentioned to their weekly meetings, it's something that you'd kill to get into. You'd die to get there, folks. You would feel so good about yourself coming out of those meetings that it will blow your mind. How do people feel when they leave you? What if you say, you know, bless her heart, this is being taped, and I hope she never hears it, but I got a sister that I dearly love. I can't talk to her over 2 minutes at a time. I just can't. It's the most negative person I've ever met in my life. I can't say anything to her to make her positive. The minute I call her, somebody, her neighbor died, you know, her cat's in a tree, you know, her husband's out, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on, you know, but I just can't deal with that, folks. So a positive environment is what I want you to be thinking about at all times. Now, as I said earlier, number one, people want to be a part of something bigger than they are. People, number two, want to feel special. Number three, people want to be recognized. And number four, people want to be rewarded. Okay? In summary, people get excited about paychecks and promotions. Very simple. That's your responsibility as a builder. I don't care if it's 3 people on your team or 300 on your team. That's your responsibility. The day you hire your first person, you give up the right to remain average and ordinary. You give up the right to talk to these people like they're your employees. They're not. They're independent agents that are working under your leadership, and you need to create a positive environment for these people that want to be a part of that, okay? It's your responsibility to get them to stay around and be a part of it. Now, number two, identify the team leaders within your group. Okay? Now, team leader is somebody that steps up to the plate, somebody that you watch treat their people special, somebody that you listen to and you hear the way they talk and the way they want, and they have goals and they've sat down with you and they've identified their goals and they want to go somewhere. They want to be like you. They want a group. They want a team. Okay? Now, you got full responsibilities with these groups. I say you get with these individuals and identify their goals. See, if it happens to be Andy Albright and he's under me, see, we could go back and talk about the times that me, he and I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning on computers, flying somewhere, setting up in hotel rooms, him putting together game plans, me helping him, showing him what he could do, how he could make it happen, how he could get there quicker. See, we spent endless hours doing this stuff, folks, in the early days, okay? So identify their goals. Now, that's where the key comes in at. See, if I got four people in and all of them have a goal to go do 10,000 and I can help them achieve their goal, I'm good to go. But me personally, I'm going to put some backup in place in case one of them misses their goal. I can't just say I found my perfect four. And they're going to, one of them might be on vacation 1 week. People do that, you know. One of them might be sick 1 week, might be in the hospital. People do that too, you know. Okay? So bottom line, I need to identify with each one of them and see what their goal is. Then what I need to do is put a game plan in place for them to achieve their goals. Now, I just talked to you about two game plans here on achieving your goal from a personal standpoint. And, folks, you can put any number in that. That was one example. If you want a 55% contract, figure it out. If you want a 75%, figure it out. I can't give every scenario to the book, but put a game plan in place that'll help each one achieve their goals. All right? Now, get each leader competing against the others. Folks, if you don't think Ralph Simpson and Kyle Weinbrenner and Fitz compete every single day of their life and can't wait for them leaderboards to come out on a weekly basis to see who the number one agency is, you're dead wrong. Okay, even at their level, even making millions of dollars a year, they still want that leaderboard to come out, and they fight tooth and nail. If they missed a sale, they're going to get Kizmi to go back and find it. They're going to fight for it. They ain't going to give up until they get to where they need to be. All right? And getting people inside of your group to compete against one another. See, when I was building a group and had a small group, and I had leaders inside of me, if it was a Donald Mayo, and he had two or three people, and then I had a Ben Quintana, and he had two or three people, each week I would give them something to do to compete against each other. I used to do steak and beans contests. I mean, all kinds of things, folks. I was very creative in getting them to work. I'll give you a quick example of what a steak and beans is. If Donald and Ben were competing against each other, and Donald won it, and we had a steak dinner at my house, and I had a pool in the backyard, Donald could come over that Saturday and swim. All his people could swim, and all of Ben's people had to put aprons on and wait on Ben. I mean, well, wait on Donald and fix the steak, cook the steak, fix the potatoes, take care of the salad, everything, carom tea, whatever they wanted that day, they had to treat. And when they got through serving the team that won, they had to eat pork and beans. They didn't get to eat steak. Even though they cooked it, they didn't get to eat it. And you say, well, that's kind of silly. Trust me, it ain't silly. If you got two people fighting to keep eating them beans, that's pretty tough, okay? So you got to get them competing against each other, all right? Now, what this is going to do for you, folks, is develop your front line. Now, for 23, 24 years now, I've been developing a front line. And how would you like to have a front line like we got in NAA? See, that started with one person, then two, then three, then four, and it kept growing. So it's your responsibility to develop your front line, all right? Now, what do you do with your front line? You meet with them on a weekly basis, and you review their goals. So if your front line happens to be Ralph Simpson, then you want to make sure you know what his goals are, you know where he's headed, you know what he's looking for, you know what's going to take place, all of this stuff. And you teach them what they need to know by covering or need to be covering with their groups, okay, which would be their numbers, their ratios, their placement, their pending, all of these things, they need to learn to cover that since they are the leader now and they've kind of come out of the nest, okay? And number four you motivate them, folks, by talking about how good it's going to be once they achieve their goals. See, one of the best that I've ever met is Barry Clarkson at that. When it comes to motivating people and encouraging people and getting them to understand when they finally achieve their goals how good it's going to be, he's a master. And, folks, if I were you and I was a small group, I would be fighting to get on his Friday calls. He does calls every other Friday. He does them with large groups at 1, 10 o'clock, small groups at 11, or vice versa. And I would be fighting tooth and nail to get on those calls to learn what he knows about building a business. He hired, trained, and motivated me in the early days. Okay, that was my mentor coming up in the business, and we became partners later. But motivation, folks, it's a funny thing about motivation. It comes from within. All the motivator can do is reach inside and stir the emotions. That's all you can do. It's in there. You just got to stir the emotions. And you stir the emotions of people by expanding their vision, stretching their imagination, and then giving them a glimpse, again, of how good it's going to be once they get there. See, if I know I'm working with, you know, Doug Morrison sitting here right in front of me. If I know I'm working with Doug Morrison, and I know he's just unbelievable, he's like, man, I want to get this thing built, I want to get it in position, and I want to get out of the field and not have to go out there and sell every night of my life. See, that's a goal. That's an achievement. That's something he's working for. Man, you talking about working on him. I'm going to tell him how good it's going to be when he can be home every night and have supper with Joanne, when they can sit there and, was it, sit by the fireplace, have a cup of coffee, cup of hot chocolate, watch it snowing, you know, whatever it is, I'm going to really work on him on how good it's going to be. And then I'm going to turn full circle and come back around, and I'm going to really work on him on how hard he's got to produce right now every single second to make that happen. And if he knows that it's worth it, he will try to achieve it, and he will work hard for it. But he's got to know what he's working towards, and it's got to be a visual. He's got to understand it. He's got to be able to see it. See, if you ever talked to Barry Clarkson about my early days, when I was doing 10, 15,000 a month, in my mind I was doing 100. In my mind I knew where I was going to be when I did 100. In my mind I knew where I was going to live. I knew what I was going to drive. I knew what I was going to wear. I knew everything going on because he had drilled me that way from day one. Okay? Number four, develop weekly leader bulletins. As I said, folks, personal and team leaders. See, in your group, here's what you got to understand. If you're a group inside of a group, and you look on the leaderboards and you see, pick one, Mike Levantovich, and you say, man, look at that agency. I'm a part of that agency. Man, I am so proud. And you should be. And you should edify your upline. Okay? We understand that, and you certainly should do it. But then when your people look on there and they see their personal production, and you look on there and you see your personal production, and then Mike possibly runs a leaderboard and shows you with your group, but he may not show downline of your group. Now, he's doing it for you. Why aren't you doing it for your people? Why don't you say, you know what? Here's, again, Doug Morrison down underneath John Doe that's underneath Jane Doe that's underneath Mike Levantovich. Leaderboards don't go that deep. But does that mean these people aren't important? No, not if they're your people. So day one, I had leaderboards. If somebody hired somebody, then that means they are heading for management, and their numbers plus their people's numbers need to be put in front of them. You can call them a district manager. You can call them a sales leader. You can put what you want to on your leaderboards. But if somebody's got somebody under them, they need to see what their numbers look like with them and their team. It's just that simple. They can see personal. We list the personal production, but they can't see the team. Okay? Number five, keep them shooting for the next level, next promotion at all times. All times. Now, this one is key, folks. Pay close attention to me here. All right? For me, you brag on the leaders and you brag on the leaderboards and you let them see. And again, if you got somebody that's got two people and they're doing it, that's you need to brag on them. See, because I put in parentheses here an A underneath number one, be sure to identify everyone in your group that hits their goal. For me, that's called the foot soldiers. And if I'm holding a meeting on Monday mornings or Friday mornings, it makes no difference to me. And I got my group in there, and I constantly, I'm just using Doug because he's sitting in front of me, and I constantly brag on Doug, and I say, Doug did his 10,000 this week. We're so proud of him. He did his 10,000 this month, whatever it is. And all I talk about is Doug. They get so frustrated that we never mention them. They get so upset. It's just another job. It's just another boss. They're not important. They don't feel special. And they go somewhere else and find somebody else to pat them on the head because you're not patting them on the head. Now, if I got Donald Mayo sitting in that same meeting, and I know that I'll sit down with him, and Donald's goal is $1,000 a week, and he's hitting it week in and week out, month in, month out, you know what? I need to recognize him. I need to have him stand up. He didn't do 10 like Doug did, but he hit his goal, folks, and he's important. And 10 people that look just like him is 10,000. What my group looks like is my responsibility. That's what I'm trying to get through to, okay? So if he hits his goal, he is equally as important as anybody I have in the room. See, when you hear us get people on, they're not the same people every time. We try to get new people. We put stories out every single day of people taking a B-lead, going out closing 9,800. We put a picture of them up there. We want you to see the people that's out there doing the production and hitting their goals. And that's your responsibility as a leader early on, is to make sure you identify the people inside of your group. Okay? Show their standings for the company contest. How many people in your group even know that we got all kinds of cruises and trips and everything else going on? Have you shared it with them? Do you show them their standings? Do you get them to understand that it's, I don't know, 9 more months left in the contest, 10 more months left in the contest. They can still win the contest. All right? Now, here's number 3 is very, very important. Determine what it takes to get to the next level. See, if you got a guy on a 55, I don't think you can do anything more important with that guy than to set him down or set her down and explain to them exactly what they need to do to get their next promotion and go to 60. That's what they get excited about. Now, you know what? For them to go from 55% doing $1,000 a week to 60%, and they got to do 5,000 a week, and for you to think in your mind that you're going to lose 5 points off of them, that's wrong, folks. Would you rather have 5 points off of 5,000 or 10 points off of 1,000? You see what I'm saying? 5 points off of 5,000, 2,500. 10 points off of 1,000 is 1,000. Okay? It's $1,500 more. That's called stinking thinking. We don't need none of that. You work with your people to determine what they need to do to get their next level and get their next promotion and move up. And you talking about firing some people up, you're going to fire some people up. Number one, just to let them know that you're watching their numbers and you care enough about their numbers to let them know what they need to do and stretch them. They may be sitting on almost enough and not even thinking about that because they're so focused on something else, and you say, you know what? You just need to stretch a little bit more, and you get yourself in line and do it one more month, and you get your next promotion. Man, I'm so proud of you. What can I do to help you achieve that? How can I help you be more focused? Let's re-go back over your goals and retake the steps and see exactly what you need to do. Okay? Now, with that in mind, folks, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to read them off to you real slowly. Number one, create a positive environment. Number two, identify the team leaders within your group. Number three, meet with your front line on a weekly basis. Number four, develop weekly leader bulletins. Number five, keep them shooting for the next level, next promotion. And number six is the most important one of all, folks. Because what happens is people will go out here and go through these 5 steps one time, 2 times, 3 times, okay, and they think they've arrived. But what I need you to understand is once you did this once, you need to go back and develop another group of individuals and follow steps 1 through 5 again and again and again and again. And that's how you come out of the field. That's how you become the next Fitz. That's how you become the next Kyle Weinbrenner. That's how you become the next big leader in our system. So you can't find 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 people, train them to death, work with them, blossom them up, put them through these steps, shoot them out there, and not have another group coming right behind them. You need to keep recruiting. See, the key to this business, folks, you're either recruiting or you're dying. There is no maintaining. It doesn't happen that way. You know, baseball, they understand it. 9 on the field, 9 in the dugout, 9 on the bus, 9 back home training. They know what they got to have. They don't need 9 on the field. But one of them could break an arm. One of them could get hit in the head. One of them they'd have to carry off. Who knows? They got to have backup. You got to have backup. So consistently fill your pipeline and consistently keep that base going and keep the people that you're working with so that when you start popping them out, you've got another group to work with, and you repeat the steps. And see, there's the goal. For me, when you get yourself about 10 to 12 of these frontline people that are out there producing the numbers that you see our leaderboards produce, and these people are in the place, now you can become financially independent. So if I'm talking to somebody that's done 1 or 2 or 3, and you know, as remarkable as that is, as great a job as you've already done, don't back off. Don't back off. Revisit your goals. Revisit your dreams. Revisit your original mission statement as to why you got into business, what you were looking to accomplish, what you wanted to achieve, and see if you've achieved that yet. You know, don't think because you've done it 1, 2, 3, 4 times you're there. You got to go back and revisit what it is you really wanted out of this thing, okay? Now, in saying that, let's kind of wind it down, folks. I started off talking about the season. Then I went to goals on a monthly basis, game plans, and then I did some building techniques on how you can work yourself from a small group up to a large group, all right? Folks, there's about 25 days left. 23 days now for kickoff. It ain't over till it's over. I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't slow down. I'd be working as feverishly hard as I could work between now and the 28th to get as many people in to the leadership meeting as you can get. I've seen emails going out this morning. I've seen emails going out since we started this thing on individuals testifying to the fact that these meetings, not a one of them that they attended was not a life-changing event. Folks, I'm telling you, you get out there, and I know some of you thinking in your mind, man, I need to go make sales, and I need to make some extra commission, and I need to do this and do this and do this. I'm going to tell you something. You will never make the life-changing decision that you need to make for you and your family on an appointment, driving to an appointment in a dark car by yourself, getting stood up when you get there, no one home, getting a no, getting a rejection, getting a sale. Even if you hit the sale, folks, you will never make the life-changing decision you need until you get around the people that have already made it and that are going to explain to you how and why and when it took place. That's going to happen for you, folks. I'll be there. Barry will be there. Andy will be there. The top leaders in our company will be there speaking. We got outside speakers coming in. You know, we got a Vietnam vet that, I mean, he's a legend. Cleve McClary is coming in. Him and his wife, they've both written books. They speak at 400-plus engagements a year. And there's only 365 days in a year. You figure it out. They speak twice a day somewhere. They're in demand constantly. We're very fortunate to have them there, folks. You have a chance to come in and listen to these people. And here's a guy that laid it all on the line for his team, for his platoon, took it for them in place of them. I mean, it's unbelievable, folks, what you can learn from an individual that's been there and done that. And we're putting it in place so that it will change your life and the legacy that you're leaving behind for your family, your children, your grandchildren. Folks, these are the kind of meetings we're putting together for you. That's why we encourage you so much to be there. That's why we spend so much time in sending out emails and stories and the events that surround this. And there's so much time, energy, and effort went into it already to get everything in place. For you to come in and see the commitment that we've made with our new campus and understand that we're backing you 250%. For you to bring a new recruit and walk into that 58,000 square foot building and say, here's the company. It's bigger than a bread box. People are going to see the seriousness of it. They're going to understand it. And you don't have the words to describe that to an individual as much so as just letting them walk in and visualize this thing is real. They can watch the machines work. They can see the leads being pumped out. They can hear and meet the people that day-to-day work for their benefit. Folks, I don't know how to describe it anymore. Pam King will be there with Kit. She will be able to answer all your questions. She'll be able to set up Kit. You know, the last meeting we had for the Hispanic kickoff, we had the storeroom open. We had people looking at the books. And man, can you imagine having a new recruit there come in and pick up a Think and Grow Rich or Good to Great or one of the books that's recommended on our reading list, folks, and going out and actually reading that book and changing their life forever? See, folks, that's what I'm saying. Those are the kind of things that's going to happen. We sold 46 books in one meeting. That's unreal. That's unreal. That people probably never would have went to the bookstore and picked it up. So if you just think about it from that standpoint, the CDs and the MP3s and the things that the people picked up at the store and listened to or read on the way back home will change their career and your career. They need to be there to meet the people that work in Kit and actually hear and see and get it explained to them and drawn out for them on how this is going to work and how it's going to grow their business. It's unreal. Okay? So I encourage you to take what we've said today on today's call. Don't take it lightly. Take it very serious. Get committed to it. Remember, there's a difference in involvement and commitment. Get committed to it. Sell out to it. Make some life-changing decisions. And hopefully we will see you for your benefit, not ours, in September at our convention. Let me turn to my computer real quick and see if I had any questions asked to me. I don't see any. Nope, don't see any. Okay, guys and gals, appreciate you being on. Okay, have a good week.